Welcome back to the Modern Creative Podcast, where I chat about creative entrepreneurship and growing your calligraphy business. So if you're looking for tips on how to start or scale your calligraphy business, you are in the right place. So in this episode, I'm actually going to share my top three tips for growing your calligraphy business. And stick around because I'm not just going to tell you to post on Instagram every day or to create a blog post every week. Now, before jumping into it, be sure to head to calligraphyblueprint.com to download my Calligraphy Biz Blueprint, which shares 5 ways that you can start to generate consistent and predictable revenue in your calligraphy business. So that is calligraphyblueprint.com, or you can check the link in the show notes. Okay, so tip number one, be smart and strategic about who you choose to mentor you in this calligraphy business journey that you are on. And that can be in the form of courses that you purchase or coaching that you sign up for. Definitely be smart with who you're choosing as your business mentor. I do recommend having a business mentor because that can actually help you get to your goals faster or even help you achieve things that you didn't know that you could achieve before having that business mentor. So that's how really investing in that kind of thing, that mentorship, can really help you get to your goals faster. A good mentor is not just going to hand you the answers, right? They're going to help you learn to do these things, whatever, you know, you signed up for, or whatever their expertise is. They're going to help you learn to do those things on your own so that when they are no longer there, you're confident that you can achieve these things. Because what happens if someone is just giving you the answers? Well, when they're no longer there, what are you going to do? You might end up in the cycle of, you know, hiring coach after coach or signing up for course after course because you didn't learn kind of how to do it on your own or without them. So that's a sign of a good mentor, someone that's not just going to be like, here are all the answers. Of course, they're going to help you and they're going to like share their expertise, but it's really about helping you figure out how to do it on your own as well. Be sure to invest in not only those people that you like, but those that produce the results that you want to produce in your own business. Or maybe they've also helped others in the, you know, calligraphy space or the creative space have the kind of results that you want. So that's another tip for finding a good business mentor. Make sure they have done it for themselves or they have done it for other people. And you're not just signing up for, I don't know, like buzzwords and sales words. Like make sure that they've actually done these things that they say that they're an expert in. So an example, if you wanted to grow your Etsy shop, let's say, I might not be a fit for you. Yes, I had an Etsy shop and my first sales were strangers and I didn't have to ask my mother to buy something, but that's not my area of expertise. So if you want to create a course, for example, or set up systems for passive income or learn how to balance your day job with automations, then I might be the mentor for you. So really take a look at your business, what you do, what you want to do, and look for mentors who are kind of steps ahead of you. So we all want results, right? In life and business, we all want to achieve our goals. And some people might promise you results, but again, just come back to your own business and your own strategy. Does this person produce results? Are those results what I want for my own business? So don't just sign up for the next course that everyone is signing up for example, if it doesn't fit with your own goals and your own long-term vision. I've definitely done that. I've, you know, and not to like knock any of the courses or even coaches that I've worked with, but looking back, everything right in hindsight, it's like, why did I do that? I don't ever want to do that in my business. I just wasted money. So I don't want that to happen for you. So having a mentor can definitely, again, help you get to where you want to go faster or get you to places where you never thought it was possible. But my tip here is just to really make sure that the mentor that you're investing in is the right fit for you and your business. So that is my first tip for growing your calligraphy business. My next growth tip here is to actually let things have time or the space that they need. So say you're following a new like sales strategy or marketing strategy or whatnot. It could be webinars or collaborations, or you're trying to get on all these podcasts or join summit panels, for example, like speaking at summits. If that is your marketing strategy right now or your sales strategy right now, give it time. Give yourself time to measure the results with whatever it is that you're doing. This is kind of where facts and feelings or facts over feelings come into play. This is super important. This is something that I try to really drive home with my calligraphy business school students, this facts over feelings mindset, because it is super easy to like give something your all, to do something for a couple weeks or a month, and then you feel like it's not working. You feel like it's not working. So maybe you just like quit and you start something completely different. Well, maybe it's working or maybe it's not. Maybe you just haven't given it the time that it needed yet. Maybe you don't have enough data yet, which is the facts, facts over feelings, remember? So before jumping into the next thing, the next, oh, well, so-and-so is trying this, so I should try this too, because it looks like they're killing it. Be sure that you are giving your strategy time so that you can collect data, AKA facts, and then you can really see if something is truly working or not before you move on. I will say that it takes a lot more effort to try something new than to tweak what you have. And this is super important as a side hustler, right? I'm a side hustler. Like I went back to my day job. You can listen to the episode in season two. And so I don't have all the time or the energy to create something new all the time. So actually, once you have all of that data and you're evaluating if something is worth it or not to continue, then instead of scrapping something completely, I would encourage you first to tweak things, see where you can improve things to get the results that you want, instead of just moving on to the next marketing or the next sales strategy that you want to try. But in a nutshell, give things time. That is tip number two. Give things time so that you can get the data that you need to really decide if something is or is not working for you. Because if you just jump from strategy to strategy, it's going to be a slow growth. It's going to be a journey of slow growth instead of sticking with a strategy that you can improve upon and make work for you. So that's tip number two. And my last tip for business growth is to work with others. So I think I've talked about this in a few episodes here and there, but find ways to work with other businesses and other creatives. That is really going to help you grow your calligraphy business. So even if you have just started, you think you're too new or your audience is too small, you can find ways to work with other entrepreneurs in your space, either other calligraphers or maybe some complementary businesses, depending on the type of calligraphy that you do or the type of calligraphy business that you have. The earlier that you can start to collaborate with other business owners in your business, the sooner you're going to grow your audience, the faster you're going to grow your audience. So start to think of joint offers that you can create with maybe your business friends or even other people that you admire in your space. Make that collaboration like wish list, if you will. When it comes to thinking about, you know, approaching someone for a collaboration, and you're going to approach them obviously with an idea and how it's beneficial for both of you and both of your audience, start to think about what can you offer someone and their audience that is helpful, as well as what can someone offer you and your audience that maybe you can't. Do your respective audiences have overlapping interests? And if your audiences have overlapping interests, well, then that person may be a good fit for you to do some kind of joint offer, training, or whatever collaboration you can come up with. Also think about, is there a networking opportunity in your city or even online with people that are in your, you know, niche of calligraphy, but also adjacent niches? So if you're like a wedding calligrapher, it could be good for you to collaborate with wedding photographers and wedding planners and florists and so forth, right? So is there some kind of place locally or online where you can network and meet these people and really form like genuine friendships first so that you can down the line potentially collaborate? When you're thinking about, you know, collaborations, are there YouTube channels? Are there summits that you want to be a part of? Are there places that like where you can reach out? Really looking for somewhere where you can show your area of expertise and how you can serve someone else's audience. So what are those platforms for you? Because when you are able to get on these platforms that I just said, like podcasts, YouTube, summits, and whatnot, you're going to be able to present your area of expertise to that audience, and they will likely come and follow you and join your audience as well. So it's kind of great to collaborate in that way and get that visibility, because visibility through collaborations is really the fastest way to build like, know, and trust with an audience. And if you have an offer to present to that audience, you might even get that bonus of receiving some revenue too. Doing collaborations kind of vets you, right? If I were to bring someone onto the podcast, for example, and if you're a longtime listener of the podcast, well, you're gonna kind of trust this person faster than if you had just found them on your own, right? It kind of vets them and it kind of feels more organic, and it's a faster way to build that like, know, and trust instead of, you know, I don't know, publishing a ton of Facebook ads, for example. So in the next few months, I really encourage you to think about different potential collaborations that you could do with your fellow creative business owners that is beneficial to both of your audiences. And again, is that, you know, coming up with a product together? Is that you pitching to speak on a summit so you can share your expertise with their audience? Like, what is that? It's not too soon to think about, so that you can start to really build an audience of people that know, like, and trust you. So that is tip number three. Collaborations. I am all about that collaboration life. So thanks so much for tuning in wherever you're listening, Apple, Spotify, if you're watching on YouTube. And remember to grab my free opt-in, my calligraphy business blueprint that shows you five things that you can do to start getting that predictable and consistent revenue in your calligraphy business. And I'll catch you in the next episode.